Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here together and to have this opportunity to look into the Word of God. Thank you, all of you who helped with the singing. It's always a joy to sing those praises to the Lord and just to worship Him. He's such a great God. We could never praise Him enough, could we? Especially when we think about what He has done in the giving of His Son to save us from our sins. And I trust that if you're here this morning, and you don't have that peace in your heart that you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust that you will find that peace today. There was a husband who was pretty bad at remembering his wife's birthday and their anniversary. And he had forgotten it so many times, and he was so embarrassed that finally he decided that he was going to take some drastic steps to help him with his problem. So what he decided to do was he went down to the florist. He went down to the local florist, and he said, "Look, I have a hard time remembering these things, but if I give you the dates, will you agree just to automatically send out flowers on the dates of her birthday and our anniversary?" And the florist was a little skeptical, wondering how she was going to get paid, and so she said, "You know, I'll agree to do this for you, but I'm going to charge you $100 extra every time that you do this." And so he was willing to make the sacrifice. He felt like it was worth it. He loved his wife a lot. He just forgot these things. And so he bit the dust and said he was going to do it, bit the bullet and said he was going to do it. And so they made the agreement. Well, about 4.5 months later, here she gets this beautiful bouquet of flowers. And she was so excited. She was just ecstatic that her husband had made the sacrifice to remember to get. It was the nicest flowers that she had gotten in a long time, as a matter of fact. And she was just so happy that when he walked in the door, she was just smiling ear to ear. And she reached out and she hugged him. And when he turned and he saw the flowers on the table, and he said, "Man, it's so good to see you too, dear. Where'd you get the flowers?" Well, I don't know if you would actually classify his gift as a sacrifice of love, but he was trying. But what I'd like to talk about today is a sacrifice of love. I must say, as I dive into this particular subject, this has been a very hard study for me, just because of thinking what I want to talk about as we think about sacrifice is to look at it from the perspective of what the Bible teaches about it, but how it applies to us. And this has been a very challenging study for me. As you'll probably see as we go through this particular study. But our brother Dave mentioned in the earlier meeting about the central pivotal point in history is when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Would you agree with that? You know, that is a sacrifice. Do you realize the central pivotal point in human history is when a sacrifice was made. And it was a sacrifice of God's Son, and we're going to be looking more at that in just a few minutes. But as we think about the Word of God and we think about sacrifice, what comes to your mind? What do you think about when you think about sacrifice? Maybe you think about Cain and Abel. And you, right in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, we see them bringing an offering to God, and we're going to be talking more about that. Maybe you think, when you think about sacrifice, maybe you think about the time when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and there was that sacrifice that he made against the prophets of Baal when they made their sacrifice, and he said, "The one who answers by fire, let him be God," and how God came down with fire and burned up his sacrifice and all of the water that he had dumped on it and everything. Maybe that's what you think of when you think about sacrifice. Or maybe you think about the tabernacle or the temple where the brazen altar was and where sacrifices were made constantly countless animals shed over years and years of the Israelites' history and their approach to God through the tabernacle and through the temple. Or maybe your mind goes to the New Testament and you think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the fact that we don't offer sacrifices today because His sacrifice was the fulfillment of all those types and pictures of all those Old Testament sacrifices, even as we had just mentioned just a few of those. And maybe that's what you think about when you think about sacrifice in that regard. And if we are no longer under the law because of the finished work of Christ and His sacrifice, do we or are we still required to offer sacrifices? What would you think about that? Of course, the answer is no, we're not required to make any sacrifices. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says, "Not with the blood of goats or of calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Praise the Lord for that, right? He did that once for all. His sacrifice was final in that regard. Hebrews 10 in verse 10 says, "But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." So we know that a sacrifice for law is not required, because that's what these sacrifices were. They were for the law, the requirements of the law. And Jesus Christ fulfilled all of those, so there is no sacrifice for law. But is that the only type of sacrifice that we could consider? I would suggest, no, that there are other types of sacrifice. And I want to talk about another type, which is the sacrifice of love, not a sacrifice of law. Is a sacrifice of love required from us? No, it's not required, because if it was required, it would be under law again, right? So, and we're not under the law, so it's not actually required, but a sacrifice of love is something that we choose to do. It is because we want to make that kind of a sacrifice, because that's what it's for. It's out of love. A sacrifice of love is what I'd like to talk about. So as we think about the law, and now that we're under grace, which standard is higher, would you say? Law or grace? Law or love? We know that the standard that we are under now is actually a higher standard, isn't it? You remember what Jesus, when He taught about the law, He said, look, the law says you shall not murder. But what did He say? He said, if you unjustly hate somebody in your heart, then that's almost the same as murder. You're in danger of the judgment, He told them. He told them about the sin of adultery, and He compared that to now. He said, but I say to you, if a man were to look at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed it in his heart already. Which standard is higher? The standard of grace. The standard of love is even higher than what the law required. And the law required all of those sacrifices. And we're under grace. So I want to talk about a sacrifice of love. And as we do talk about this, this is the three things I'd like to talk about, is a sacrifice for Christ, sacrifice of Christ, and finally, the sacrifice by Christ. So let's begin by thinking of sacrifice for Christ. And I want to think about some biblical examples of what we find in the Scripture as to the things that He would be pleased with us bringing to Him as a sacrifice today. Not because of the law, but because of our love for Him. Because we choose to do it out of love for what He has done for us and who He is. So let's think about some biblical examples. And I'm not going to ask you to turn to many of these passages, because we're going to be skipping over to a lot of places. We will turn to a few of those. But first of all, as we think about these biblical examples, there is the the offering that we can give, the sacrifice of praise and worship. Now, we can do that when we're all by ourselves at home. We can do that together as we come together in the Lord's Supper. We can do that as we just did a few moments ago, singing those wonderful songs of praise and worship to the Lord. But Psalm 50 in verse 23 says, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me." When we are having our song time in here and we're praising the Lord, do you look at that as being a sacrifice to God? You know, sometimes when I come in and that particular part of the meeting, and that's just one aspect of praise, we could talk about our praise at home or at the Lord's Supper, wherever, that's just one aspect, but do I see that? Do I just sit down and kind of go through the motions? Or do I say, this is a sacrifice to the Lord? And my heart should be wholeheartedly in it because I'm choosing to bring this loving sacrifice of praise to Him. Psalm 27, 6 says, "Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle, and I will sing praises to the Lord." Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God." Now, you're here this morning, and so based on your presence here, I would guess that you have a heart's desire that you want to please the Lord. You want to do things that are honoring to Him. Well, this is one of the things we don't have to wonder if it honors Him, because He wants us to bring it as a sacrifice to Him. He wants us to bring these, our songs of praise and worship to Him. There's another that the Scripture talks about, financial gifts. Our brother Dave had a message on giving here probably about 2 months ago, I would say, Dave, something like that. And we know from the teaching of Scripture that it's that He wants us to support God's work with our finances. And we don't do a lot of emphasizing of that, because we trust that as you are exercised by the Holy Spirit, you'll be led to participate in that. But do you realize that the Scripture teaches that your financial giving is actually a sacrifice to the Lord? It's not a sacrifice of law that somebody's going to sit down and make you be required to do it, but it's a sacrifice of love that we choose to do this for what He has done for us. Philippians 4:18 says, "Indeed, if I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things," and when he's talking about the things, he's mentioning a financial gift that the Philippian believers were sending to him and to support the work of spreading the gospel. And it goes on to say that was sent from you, and this is what he calls it, "a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." So as you think about your giving, do you see that as, well, I need to do this because it's the right thing to do? Or do we do it because I want to offer it to the Lord? This is my way. This is my giving to the Lord. I want to bring a sacrifice that is acceptable to Him, that's pleasing to Him. And so there is our financial giving. Then there is also the sharing with others. In Hebrews 13 and verse 16, it says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And this could be considered, the other, I think, is more related to giving toward the Lord's work and to His people and that sort of thing, as it related to Paul. Here, maybe thinking about our giving toward individuals. Maybe you're exercised to help out a financial need in an individual's life that you know about in the assembly or elsewhere. Or not necessarily just finances, it could be supplying other things like food at a time of bereavement or whatever it might be. It's a way of sharing, it's a way of helping and encouraging. Do you see when we do that, that is a sacrifice? He says it's a sacrifice that God is well pleased with. It puts a new spin on some of these things, doesn't it? To realize that these are the things that, even if I'm doing it for somebody else, really I'm doing it as a sacrifice to the Lord, to honor Him. Then there is our bodies as a sacrifice. Romans 12 And verse 1 says that, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice." And I know, personally, I've been convicted by some of these things, and we've talked about some of these things in our life group, and I've been convicted about some of these things and been trying to take some action on making sure that I'm using my body first for Him as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for Him. Do you see your body in that way? Most of the time, we think about the needs of our body and we think about it being for us, don't we? We think about what I want and what I want to do with this body that He's given me. But He says that He wants us to take what He's given us, this body that we live in, and to present it to Him. A living sacrifice. Why would we do that? Because the law says so? No. Because we love Him. It's a sacrifice of love for Him that honors Him when we do so. Then there is the sacrifice of our faith. This is mentioned in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17. He says, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of your faith." And so here was Paul mentioning about his life being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of their faith. And you think about your faith, how do you grow in your faith? We get into the Word of God. We come together as believers and get into the Word of God to strengthen our faith. And then thinking about our service for Him, what we do for Him, are involved in service. And those sacrifices bringing to Him, to think about the growth of our faith and the sacrifice and the service of your faith. Then we can think about our broken spirit. Have you ever thought about sometimes when maybe you have fallen, you have sinned, and you recognize that, you grieve over it before the Lord? Have you ever considered that as being a sacrifice to the Lord? That's what the Scripture tells us in Psalm 51. Remember in Psalm 51, that's the time when David had fallen into sin, grievous sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite, one of his best men that he had. And it says in Psalm 51, he says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." When the Holy Spirit convicts us that we have sinned and He shows us those areas, we have an opportunity at that point as a sacrifice to God to get on our knees and be broken for what we have done and to repent and to turn to Him for forgiveness and cleansing. That's a sacrifice that He is pleased with. When we do that, a broken spirit. Then there is the idea of prayer. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8, there we, in that scene around the throne, there it says, "Now when He had taken the scroll, the four and the living creatures, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." And that picture of the incense that was there as put on the altar before the Holy of Holies, the altar, the golden altar there, a lot of times there was incense that was put there, and that incense arising to God as a sweet savor. And so we think about our prayer as being that which we can offer up to God as a sacrifice. You know, it's pretty incredible to think that this is something that would be offered up as a sacrifice, because I think about my prayers and I think about the God of heaven, the sovereign God of the universe. How would my prayers even make a difference? How would my meaning, my small little self offering up a prayer amongst whatever there is, 8 billion people on the planet, and yet it can ascend to Him as a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to Him? And so we have that opportunity as well. As we think about prayer, we could think about personal prayer. We could think about corporate prayer. Do you ever think about those opportunities as an opportunity to offer sacrifice to Him by joining together and praying for one another in corporate prayer or even at home as we have the prayer list that's often sent out to us by our brother Mark, a ministry that we're very thankful for. And then finally, another one of these sacrifices is a life poured out for Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the end of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." Paul knew that his life was drawing to a close at that time, and he looked at his life as being a drink offering poured out in that way. What was he saying? He was basically, the idea is, he had poured out his life for the Lord. He had given his life for the Lord. His time was, he was about time for him to leave this life. He knew that. If you were at that point in your life, would you be able to look back? Would I be able to look back and to say, "I have poured out my life for the Lord as a sacrifice to him"? That's what he desires of us to do. And so we can think about all these different sacrifices. And so I ask you the questions I ask myself. Are you offering sacrifices to the Lord? Not sacrifices of animals, not sacrifices for the law, but sacrifices of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about sacrifice for Christ. What I'd like to look at now is, we've looked at some biblical examples. I'd like to talk about some principles that the Scripture teaches for choosing the sacrifice. And this is what really spoke to me, I think, in a very powerful way. We all probably know the account of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. And you remember how it was time for Cain and Abel to bring an offering, to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And how Cain, he went out and he got the best of his fruit of the ground, the vegetables, fruits, whatever they may have been, and he offered them to the Lord. And then Abel, he went out and he chose of the first things of his flock, and he offered that to the Lord. You remember what happened? You remember how God, as he was looking at both of those offerings, he did not accept the offering of Cain, but he accepted Abel's sacrifice. It was pleasing to him, and he accepted it. He did give Cain another chance, which Cain did not take that chance to repent, and he ended up slaying his brother Abel, as you recall, from that particular story. But what can we learn about that? Two things. Not only do we learn about what to bring. What was he to bring? They were to bring a blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, because a life had to be taken as the payment for sin. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there's no forgiveness. And there was not a blood sacrifice offered by Cain's offering. So God didn't accept that. So what you choose is important. But not only what, but how you go about making that choice is important as well. How does that come out in the story of Cain and Abel? Well, Cain, he didn't just go out and choose any one of the flocks that he had, any one from amongst his flocks. He was very careful in making the choice. He went out and he found one of the firstlings of his flock. That's what he offered. He didn't just go out and get any old animal. He chose of the firstlings of his flock. So it's important not just what we choose to bring, but then how we go about making that choice is important as well. You might be thinking, man, all this offering of sacrifices and all this kind of stuff. What does the New Testament say about this? Do you realize the New Testament tells us, and who offered the sacrifices in the Old Testament? It was the priests, right? The priests were the ones responsible for offering the sacrifices. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a priest. I'm not like a spiritual leader or anything like that. But you know what the Scripture teaches? the Scripture teaches, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are a priest. That's what the Scripture teaches. You are a holy priest. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual sacrifice, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and listen to this, acceptable to God. Does God accept anything simply because we bring it? No. We have to be careful in the process of choosing what we are going to bring to Him as we offer these sacrifices out of love for Him. Now, let's talk about some of these principles. There's 1 Peter 2:5 that we mentioned just a minute ago. The first principle is that sacrifice involves first. This principle, I believe, is seen there with Cain and Abel. With Cain and Abel, once again, when he went out and chose, the Bible says that he chose of the firstlings, the firstborn of his flock. And it says that God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19, listen to what it says. It says, the first of the first fruits of your land shall you bring to the house of the Lord your God. Have you ever thought about what you bring, that it needs to be first, God first, that we want to bring to Him first? That which is first is what He deserves as His portion that we bring to Him. You know, so many times I feel like I'm guilty of bringing something less than what is first for Him. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe it's in your singing. We talked about the sacrifice of praise, or maybe it's in your financial giving, or whatever sacrifice of all those that we talked about. Do we realize God is first? That's what He deserves. That's what He wants. He wants that which is first. Leviticus 2 and chapter 23 as well, he says, he speaks of the first fruits of that meal offering that they were to bring. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, we read, to honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. When I decide about my giving, whether it's to the Lord's work and to His people or to an individual, when I think about the first fruits, do I give Him what I have left over? Or do I say, this is what I have, and I'm going to give Him first? He goes first. What I'm going to give to Him is going to be first, and I'll live on the rest of it. You know, that's not easy to do if you haven't been doing that. But you know, this is what He teaches about giving Him first place in what we are bringing to Him. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 40, He talks about how He will accept those offerings and He will require an offering. And He says, and the first fruits of your sacrifices, not just any sacrifice, but that which is first, is what He wants us to bring to Him. And then a verse that really spoke to my heart was in Revelation chapter 2. You remember how the Lord is walking amongst the lampstands of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And He's reviewing the different ones, and sometimes He's able to commend them for certain things in those churches. And then sometimes He brings a word of rebuke. To the church at Ephesus, that was probably one of the strongest churches based on His review of what He told them. But this is what He said. After He commended them for several things, this is what He said. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, that you have left what? Your first love. Your first love. As we think about our offerings that we bring to Him, it should be Him first, out of love for Him first. And this is easy to say, but when it comes down to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and all throughout the week, making those choices, to give Him first. It's so important. He is to receive His portion first, especially of our love. And then we see another principle about this, is that sacrifice involves best. Sacrifice involves best. And here I'm going to ask you to turn to Malachi chapter 1, because we're going to be looking at a passage there together, going through some verses in Malachi chapter 1. And here in the book of Malachi, God, through this prophet, brings accusations against His people. And as He brings these accusations, sometimes it's against the priest, sometimes it's against the people, sometimes both. But as He brings these accusations against them, their response is not to be humbled and to repent by these accusations. They're trying to argue with God about His accusations, ironically. But listen carefully to what we learn about sacrifice involving that which is best. Verse number 6. A son, this is chapter 1 of Malachi. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? So the accusation is they've despised His name. And they're saying, we haven't done that. How have we ever despised your name? They denied this accusation that God is the one who is bringing against them. But notice in verse number 7, this is their answer. Verse number 7, you offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to the governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? What is he saying here? They felt like they were doing everything right. Were they bringing sacrifices to the Lord? Yes, they were bringing sacrifices to the Lord. But how did they choose that sacrifice? They went out and they decided, I really need this one here. I really need this really good one. I want to save that for myself. But this blind one, I don't really need that anyway, so I'm going to offer that as a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord is saying, look, you wouldn't do that to a human leader. A human leader you would treat with more respect than that. And He's saying, how am I going to ever accept these things at your hands when you're offering not just the leftovers, but then you're offering even things that are not acceptable by way of the standards of bringing a sacrifice to Him. Look at verse number 9, if you would. But now entreat God's favor that He may be gracious to us while this is being done at your hands. Will He accept you favorably, says the Lord? He's making it very clear. He is not going to accept that kind of a sacrifice that we bring to Him. And yet, sometimes we pat ourselves on the back, or maybe I'm just speaking to myself here, but sometimes we might pat ourselves on the back, not literally, but in our minds, and maybe we compare ourselves with somebody else and thinking, oh yeah, I'm really making a sacrifice for the Lord in this area of my life. And look at this person or that person, and they're not doing as much as I'm doing in this particular area, whatever. And we might pat ourselves on the back when, in fact, we might be just going through the motions like they were. And just still, even though we may be in comparison to another person, maybe seeming like we're doing better, but in God's standard, we're just bringing our leftovers. It's rather convicting as far as thinking about what God wants us to bring. He wants my best. He wants your best as a sacrifice to Him. As I think about all of those areas that we offer sacrifices, whether it's financial giving, whether it's prayer, whether it's our faith and the building up of our faith, the sacrifice of that faith that was mentioned from the book of Philippians. And we come together as a body of believers to study the Word, and we study it at home to build up that faith. Are we making sacrifices based on our leftovers? Or are we giving him, am I giving him my best? You know, just because we're making an offering to him doesn't mean he's going to accept it, does it? We see here that he has standard. Why is it so important to God that he would say these things? You would think, well, he ought to be pleased that they're bringing anything. No, because you know what he says here in these verses? In verse number 11, three times he refers to his name. And he talks about, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name. A pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations. Why is it so important that they bring their best? Because what we bring to him casts reflections on who he is and how the world looks on to our lives. And they see, are we just going through the motions? He's just a ordinary, everyday God who has no standards and will accept anything. But as they look on and they see that we're willing to sacrifice, we're willing to bring our best to him. Now that's a God worth finding out about. That's a God whose name is great among the Gentiles. And so he wants us to bring our best to him, only our best. The third principle, and we're almost out of time here. We're not even going to be able to get to the other two points. But the sacrifice involves cost as well. Sacrifice involves cost. When we think about a sacrifice, as far as in the scriptures, we think about a life being taken, don't we? We think about a death, a life being taken. That's a cost. There's a cost involved when you think of sacrifice. When Adam and Eve sinned, God clothed them with the skins of an animal. Where did those skins come from? An animal's life was taken. There was a cost. When Abel offered his sacrifice of the firstlings of his flock, there was a cost. A cost of a life. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, as he offered himself there as a sacrifice for us, it was at great cost. David, when he had sinned in numbering the people, God instructed him to offer a sacrifice. And when he was getting ready to offer that sacrifice, there was a man there, and I can't remember his name, but there was a man there that offered to give him the land to build on for the altar, and also to give him that which would be sacrificed. Offered to give him those things. You remember what David said? I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Sacrifice involves cost. You know, I look at my life, and sometimes I think, man, what have I given to the Lord that really involves cost? Cost of time, cost of resources, cost of affection, cost of whatever the cost is. Am I willing to give to him when it hurts? Because when there's a cost, you know it and you feel it. And it has an impact on you for that cost. And so many times I'm willing to say, yeah, I'll do it when it's convenient. And I may have a Christianity of convenience. But when it comes time to offering to him, there's a cost that is involved. That's what brings honor to him when we are willing to pay that cost for him. Our time is gone for this morning. I had some other things that I wanted to discuss about sacrifice. Maybe another time we'll be able to look at those things. But as we close, might I challenge you to examine what you are bringing to him as a sacrifice? Are you bringing anything to him as a sacrifice? Are you only coming and attending a meeting? Or are you presenting to Him gifts, sacrifice, with Him first, bringing my best for Him, and willing to do it even at great cost for His glory? Let's pray. Father, we thank You as we bow in Your presence that we recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who offered Himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Father, we can't take in such love for sinners like us. And our response, Lord, is that we could never begin to repay the great debt that we owe. But Father, out of genuine love, Lord, help us to offer our sacrifices of praise, of worship, our gifts, our time, our investing in others, our investing in Your work, to be poured out, our life poured out for You. May we bring You our best, Lord. May we bring You that which is first. Maybe we would be willing to pay the cost for Your glory. You're so worthy. Father, help us. We're weak. We fail sometimes. Help us throughout this week to be exercised about our sacrifice of love for You. In Jesus' name, amen.